through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Journalist, specialist, predator and survivalist. Spitting heaven's fire from his lips. Burning slave driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon, and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities. Or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for an Awakening Media is there. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, or share with your friends. Also check out the Time for an Awakening Marketplace in our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things in the marketplace, language, African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and many, many more interesting subjects being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So check out the marketplace, make it one of your favorites, put that in the address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight the Time for an Awakening Media. It's 8:10 in the city of Philadelphia on a Friday night, a chilly Friday night here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in freestyle Friday mode. Anything that's on your mind, we'll talk about it. Give us a call. It's an event going on here tomorrow in the city of Philadelphia, hosted by one of our hosts. The program 6 to 8. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds, Brother Jihad Ahmed is doing a community forum here in the city of Philadelphia, establishing the culture of peace. And it's October the 19th here at the Auden Reed High School here at 3301 Tasker. Brother Jihad will be joining us and right after the commercial break to kind of billboard what will be going on tomorrow here in Philadelphia. Neighborhood activism that Jihad Ahmed is involved in, along with the program Acres of Diamonds, again, that you can hear broadcast on Time for an Awakening Media on Monday evening, 6 to 8. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. As you say, it's getting chilly, but okay, nature's going its course. Things is moving along. I'm glad, you know, that we're you're bringing up, and Brother Ahmed is going to be, you know, talking about his program or the program. I think it's important for us to try to get a handle on this whole thing of conflict and mental illness in our community. So I'd like to hear where it's going, how they plan to organize.
Yeah, listen. We saw Brother Jihad down at the Locks conference a couple weeks ago. Myself and Brother Richard, and that's when Brother Oshi was up here. And Jihad is always active in the community. He's hosting an event at Orton Reed Junior High School here in Philadelphia at 33rd and Tasker tomorrow, October 19th. The doors open at 1:30. The program starts at 2 o'clock, establishing a culture of peace, hosted by, and I'm proud to say, one of the hosts on Time for An Awakening Media. His program comes on 6 to 8 on Monday nights. Brother Jihad Ahmed of Acres of Diamonds, they're hosting this program tomorrow. And it's a lot of folks that's going to be involved, invited participants, Brother Richard. The Father's Day Rally Committee will be represented, the Fruit of Islam, the Black Male Committee, Mothers Bonded by Grief, 10,000 Fearless, community leaders, clergy members are invited, some elected officials. A lot of people will be there tomorrow, and you can get more information. Well, I'll billboard it before, a little later on, maybe when we take our break, but we're going to invite one of the conveners of the Culture of Peace tomorrow. Brother Jihad Ahmed is with us. Brother Jihad, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, brothers. Peace, man. Thank you so, so very much for having me on Time for an Awakening. We always talking about Time for an Awakening. It's a good, very, very, very good show, and I'm honored to be on here with you, Brother Elliot, and Brother Richard.
So always a pleasure to hear you, brother.
Jihad, listen, you're always involved. This is not the first function that you had in the community and dealing with this topic. I heard you a couple of weeks ago when you had Brother Stanley Crawford on, and with the boots on the ground, some of the men that are involved with him to try to march through the communities and be involved in stemming this violence. In fact, they were in South Philly in my neck of the woods when they were walking a couple of weeks ago. They were on.
I didn't know you were from South Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
In
fact, my neighborhood is totally gentrified now. I grew up at 21st and Catherine.
Oh yeah.
Gone. Yeah, if I go in that community now, I don't see anybody that I grew up with. So, I mean, it's sad.
Right.
It's really sad.
Right.
But you know, you had the men marching through the community a couple of weeks ago, and you were with them.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And they were on our program about a month and a half ago when they was kind of getting things together and making their initial steps in the community. Talk about what you're doing tomorrow. I'll get you to talk a little bit about Acres of Diamonds a little later on. But give us a little background on the Culture of Peace tomorrow.
Well, what we decided to do after seeing so many of the young brothers that we personally knew in the community get gunned down to the senseless violence in the street, we just myself and another brother by the name of Brother Shahid, we wanted to do something in the community. We wanted to bring people together and have a conversation about the violence. So we reached out to Captain Dennis. He offered to come in and teach about conflict resolution and how to have peace out here in the streets. He's established the 10,000 men program a number of years ago with Brother Kenny Gamble, Brother Luqman Abdul-Haq. At that time it was Police Commissioner Sylvester Johnson. So from that, he branched out and he started the Peacekeepers Initiative. So he's been going all throughout the country, man, you know, in the affected communities, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Newark, New Jersey, Baltimore, St. Louis, and he's been teaching about conflict resolution. And one of the things that he was talking about today, we had a meeting today in North Philadelphia. He was speaking about, he met with members of the police department, members of the sheriff's office, and community members. And he was talking about, we're not trying to police the street. You know, that's the job of the law enforcement officers. But what we want to do is bring a sense of African-American men and awareness out in the community. You know, brothers are going to have flashlights and whistles. So if you see something, you get on your whistle and you start blowing your whistle. You take your phone out and you dial 911. That's really the gist of what we're trying to do, man. And I don't believe that we're going to solve all of the problems that we got in South Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, and West Philadelphia tomorrow. No, I don't believe that we're going to solve it. Because just last week we were marching, as you said, we were marching in the streets of South Philadelphia. And guess what happened? No sooner we stopped marching, right up 25th, 26th in Wharton, a young brother got shot. 27 years old. Then there was another shooting down 5th and Washington Avenue in that area. So it's like we're doing all these marching and talking and rallies, and these young brothers are still out here, man, taking each other's lives because the lives that they're taking, they don't consider it to be sacred, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to them. It's just, you know, you don't like me. And this social media, and you and I all, we're on social media, but the downfall of social media is that these guys have these beasts with one another, and then they see each other, and it's, they attacking each other, they jumping on each other, they fighting each other, and they killing each other. And a lot of this has to do with the social media beast that's going on.
Yeah, if we can, you know, this, because when I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I seen the flyer, and you know, and I've been, you know, personally been at least attending, you know, different events as far as how do we stop the violence. So I think we need to continue to have the discussion, you know, if we can, on like what you men are doing as far as actually what to do, actually being engaged, but. Also, I guess I'm wondering why, as we look at different generations. So, because I know when they were doing the Stop the Violence when I was in high school, for the same thing, right? We at that point they were calling it gang war, and you know, we were being slain. I mean, I can remember times that it could have been 20, 40 people out there on different sides, and yes, it might have been, what's that, car aerials and knives and whatever, but people were getting killed.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, as I got older, hearing that the people, another generation were getting killed, but the issue was more around drugs and turf still the neighborhoods we were in. But it was the trade, as I understood it, not being close to it. So when you say social media, is it an economic component to this, or is it truly just the emotional immaturity based off of the amplification of social media?
I think it's both. Mm. I think a lot of these, in my opinion, I work in law enforcement. And I lock a lot of people up all throughout the day. And when we look at it from our point of view, most of these young brothers can't read. When it comes time for them to fill out their paperwork, they can't read. They don't know how to write in cursive. They don't know how to put their signature on a legal document. Most of them can find in us, the black officers, and say, you know, they don't even have a father at home. So I really believe that it's the materialistic life that a lot of them want to watch, that they want to live. I think it's the fact that they don't have jobs, they don't have men at home teaching them right from wrong, and they it's like they don't give a they just don't care. That's the sad part. They don't care. There's no respect for life. Life means nothing to them at all.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Richard. I think it needs to be conversation, and I'm talking about serious conversations about what we need to do. You know, we've seen a lot of these things. You talked about marching up and down in the community, and personally, I got my own feelings about the people just having marches to be marching. I think what you're doing, bringing some of these key folks together to have a serious dialogue, because we failed these youth.
Yes.
We have failed them. And they feel disrespected. They're looking at one another about the disrespect. But the real thing that has disrespected our people since we've been here is this system that we live under. The anger is misdirected. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about, Jahi, because I want your feedback on it. I think the community itself, and I'm talking about parents, have failed our children because of the environment in some of our homes. We don't have the men there. It's not a complete family. The proper love is not given to these young men and young women. The stressing of education. You mentioned about a lot of them can't read, and I see this in my place of business. They can't read. They can't count. These things can be dealt with in the home. Now, and as far as some of the people being out of control, because listen, we talk about this subject a lot of times on the program, and I'll give an example, Jahad. You might have on average 50 or 60 homes in a city block in Philadelphia. And out of those 50 or 60 homes, you might have one or two homes in that block that the families are out of control. So the other 48 or 58, depending if it's 50 or 60 homes in that block, are almost at the mercy of two families that's out of control. That we have to, just like you said, take back these communities. And that's just among households. I think the religious communities as a whole have failed our people. They're too focused on people attending Sunday school, church on Sunday, being available at the mosque, being available at temples. You know, it's too much focus on the religion and too little focus on stabilizing our communities. The politicians have really failed our communities, because their focus should have really been giving these communities economic stability. They focus too much on helping center, and I'm just dealing with Philadelphia, helping Center City, helping these neighborhoods be gentrified, and once they're gentrified, its businesses all of a sudden start popping up in these communities that wasn't there previously. Not only businesses, services. See, you can't do this to our community. You cannot do this. It's really have to be serious discussions with our people in reference to this, because we're at a state of emergency.
Yes, yes.
We just can't allow this. You got generations of, listen, crack that was put in our communities by this government was put to destroy black people, and it did give us a blow. It wasn't a death blow, but it gave our communities a hard blow, and we're still reeling from the effects of that. But we got to have serious discussion about this violence, and everybody, we got to have all hands on deck. If politicians don't want to change the way they're dealing with our communities, with just lip service and not really putting these businesses, Jahad, look at our communities. You got Asian businesses, You got businesses from Latinos that control the economy of our communities, and they don't hire nobody to look like me and you. They want you to come in there and buy, but you don't. These businesses can't get in these communities unless you go through zoning, and the zoning is approved by the community, which means an elected official is involved. He knows all the businesses that's opening up in this community. If you allow these businesses to take control of your communities, you can't turn around and say, oh, I don't know what's causing this violence, when the people is walking around with no jobs, no prospect to do good, to do better for their families. You're at the blame. A finger got to be pointed at you. You can't get around it.
I mean, if we, just like you said, and I'm so happy that you said that, when we look at the community, how many mom and pop stores do we see on the corner? How many Chinese stores do we see in the corner? But they won't even hire our young kids, man. I remember there was a block in South Philly, and it was a Chinese store on one side, and a bodega, what they call it, the Latino store on the corner. And they wanted, like, water and refreshments for the kids to have for the cookout. Neither one of the establishments gave them anything. But we go inside of their businesses, and they will hang up. I hate to go into these stores, and they got pictures. They ask for pictures of our kids when they go on graduation and their proms, and Black people, we go into their stores and call them
Poppy,
Mommy, Poppy. And all. Mm-hmm. That is a disgrace. But they would not even give no water and refreshments for the annual cookout. But their store was open. Their establishment was open. So that's just one problem, as you said. Then you got the politicians. Politicians that, in my opinion, man, they don't give a damn about us, a great majority of them. They don't, only time they care when it's time to give out, when they want the votes. And, yeah, they'll give us some turkeys for Thanksgiving and give out some coats and gloves and scarves for the holiday and some trick-or-treat candy. And some of them now, they're throwing these big, elaborate parties in the summer.
Yeah. I'm noticing that.
I'm like, really? All this money you spent on to have something in the park. You know, we got a politician in South Philadelphia. He has a oldies night every Thursday in the park. How about giving some money to some after-school programs in that same recreation center in the park
Yes.
that you have these oldies nights for? The parents don't need to be out here shaking their behind. They can do that in the pleasure of their home. How about having something where our kids can go in a safe environment after school and get some homework, because mom might be working two jobs and dad might be working three jobs for those families that are still together, or those single mothers. So I agree 110% with you when you say that we as a community have failed. And don't get me started on the religious people, man, because, you know, most of the churches are just worried about getting the tithes and, you know, the mega churches and then the mosque and the masjids. You know, it's just prayer, prayer, prayer. But at what point do the religious people come out and do something, man? Like, I'm just baffled, man. I'm 46 years old, so I miss the old days of when you came outside on a Saturday, you did your chores, and if you lived in South Philly, you had those steps, not these cement steps. You had those other
marble
types of steps.
Yeah, it's like
marble. Man, you had to have the scrub brush and some cleanser and a bucket of hot water. You scrubbed the steps down, and you took the remaining water, you poured it on the curb. And then if you really had a good block happen, we used to paint the curbs, man.
Curbs, yeah.
And we would sweep down the street. They would turn on the fire hydrant, and it would wash all the dirt down into the sewer. We don't have that no more. And in South Philadelphia, more than anywhere in the city of Philadelphia, you're having something different. The gentrification has creeped up so quick and so much that the white people, the Caucasians now, are becoming the block captain of where we lived on the block for 20 and 30 years. And They ain't having nothing for us.
You know,
they're trying to figure out how they can take over the local park so they can have dogs, so their dogs can go in there and go to bathroom and all that. And we have no unity, man. No.
And they ain't trying to figure out. I'm on that other side of. I was raised on the other side of Broad Street in South Philly, and now maybe close to 30 years on the other side up there. I was surprised, and I want the listening audience, especially those of us who are in urban areas, because I, you know, what we speak about this gentrification and the violence in our community. I know not that is happening in Philadelphia. I mean, we get the news clips about Chicago. We get the, you know, we get the political narrative about Baltimore. So, for the Time for Awakening audience, let us not act like as though we're here in Philadelphia, that this is some kind of Philadelphia phenomenon that we're explaining. I know all of us have experienced, especially from different age groups, what's going on. But when I got home, and which I was surprised, the street was blocked off on Reed Street, you know, from LA from 24th up to where I wasn't as far as up as you are, Brother Jahad. And I noticed, I said, okay, I'm hearing some music and whatever. And now this is 6 o'clock. I'm saying, that's interesting. You know, why are they blocking the street off at 6 o'clock? I'm in the house and I'm continuing to hear music. And then it's going into 9 o'clock. I said, it's warm outside. So let me go outside. I have never seen on Point Breeze. Now, when we talk about gentrification in Philadelphia, news media, news print, economic discussions, Point Breeze is supposed to be the hottest real estate area in the city, as far as up when you talk about gentrification. But when I corner, they had, I guess it was a pop up. I mean, they had food vending trucks, people drinking beer outside. Now, the thing was,
that's a big thing, that pop up thing, man. That's big.
And whites walking up and down the street. And my thing was to see, to get the feel of this here environment. And I'm saying now, anytime we had something like that, you could not be drinking up and down the street and at no 9 o'clock at night and no with food trucks. This is a Tuesday night. This ain't a Saturday. This ain't an afternoon. This ain't a doom day. This is no festival. So when you say about, and it has to come because of the political organizing shift that's taking place by those who are coming into the community that are able to have these kind of activities because they know this adds a value to the community for others to come in. You know, I remember right after the Million Man March when we were talking about organizing and black men organizing the community. And we were, even the broader media was talking about the political activity. But then when Brother Ahmed, from Kenny Gamble was organizing in South Philly and bringing men together, it kind of faded out after a while.
Yes.
I'm not going to say why, because I really don't know. But I know in the weeks of trying to continue after the momentum of the Million Man March, that faded out. But one, you know, my point is, or what I would like to make, you know, for us is that, well, where are we at right now? We have to really find what is it that, not for those in front of us, two generations from now, what is it that we can be able to put in place so they will not be perpetuating the violence that I'm talking about? What I've seen is from 1960, from 65 through 90s, right? So we're talking about 2019. These young people that you mentioned that are 20 years old, they're what? That's 2000. That's 1990 that they were born. And we didn't have politicians, religious people. We didn't have no of what we needed to put in place for them. So what happens for the ones that's, 2030, 2040? What are we talking about now? I don't think that kind of discussion is going on. And we need that kind of discussion in order to know what kind of organizing we need to be doing to put those things in place, if it's educational opportunity. Because it shouldn't be, as you said, to me, I'm like a Paul that say that a politician is using state money to be able to have a dance party because they'll make him feel good, him or her, compared to, you know, putting that money into when you're at the same time, we're saying that these young men and women can't read and write. Exactly. If they can't read and write, their children can't read and write. And some of them have children.
That library over there on Point Breeze, I don't even know whether that library is open. Is it open?
No, it's been closed. No, it's been closed for years.
I mean, but you're going to have a party down there, an old school party where people can dance and the library's closed? You know, you got that guy down there. Listen, that guy's out of touch down there in South Philly. He had that rally down there for that white gentrifier that was killed by the young man that just got exonerated of murder. He had a candlelight vigil for that guy. And the young man I don't know whether you remember that. The community was upset because he held a candlelight vigil to support the white guy, the addict that was on cocaine and drunk when he attacked that young man. Now, that young man was a church-going young man. He was in college, and he was only here, you know, back home in the summer to make a little money to go back to school. Believe me, if he had some type of criminal record, I don't care if he was a jaywalker, they would have plastered it all over the media. They couldn't find nothing on the young man. So I'm glad that because there was enough cameras around in the Rittenhouse Square area, and they had all types of footage of the altercation. I'm glad that he was exonerated of that manslaughter charge. I see that the family was out of control. They wasn't asking for forgiveness from the black family. They had to be thrown out of court because they was out of control.
Oh, yeah. I fear for that young brother's life, too, man. He may have to move. He may have to get out of Philadelphia.
They were saying that he's going to be escorted. They got people to kind of be with him, to kind of watch over him. But the family spokesman was saying that, they hope that he doesn't have to move because they've been getting a lot of threats.
So what when in this Saturday, and I did, Elliot, you know, I'm running around here. I want the time for waking the audience, and Elliot, you know, I probably just running around here because I ain't got nothing else to do. But I had in mind of coming up because, you know, this is something that is important to us as black men and in our future as black Philadelphians. In the time that you said the doors open at 1:30 and it begins at 2:00. What is how is the plan program supposed to lay out for that?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. What we have planned is that doors open at 1:30. Program, we're going to try our best to begin at 2:00. You know how our people are, but I want to be a stickler about starting at 2:00 p.m.
Okay.
We have two people that I've had on my show, Acres of Diamonds, Dr. Jones is coming, and Ronald Crawford. I like these two brothers because they deal with the trauma in the black community. They're going to be talking tomorrow. And they're going to, we have another room set up where as though we're going to have a workshop set up. We have another brother by the name of, I don't have the whole agenda in front of me, but a brother by the name of Greg Corbett. He's spoken on many stages across the country, about violence and conflict resolution. He's been on Def Comedy Jam. He's been on the stage with Mos Def, a whole host of other poets and spoken word artists. He's going to open up the program with some poetry and some powerful words. We have a sister that's coming to do some poetry. Then we're going to have people who have organizations that are dealing with violence in the community and mental health. We're going to allow them to get up there and talk. We have some clergy members that are going to get up there and talk. We have brothers from the Nation of Islam that's going to talk. And we're going to ask those people that have been affected by violence, murder, harassment in the community to get up on the mic and talk. And we want to hear back from the people. And we're going to close the program out with the keynote speaker will be Captain Dennis Muhammad out of Detroit. He's coming in and he's going to be talking about the Peacekeepers Initiative. And as I mentioned early on, he wants to talk about how we as black men need to be more visible in the community. And he's going to give, he wants to give training to brothers, whereas though the brothers can be trained on how to go and walk around in the community and have conflict resolution and know they won't have any type of guns or anything like that. But what they will have is a whistle, a flashlight. They're going to be trained in CPR and just be trained on how to go out and interact with the young brothers or anybody that's out in the community, whether they're doing good or whether they're doing bad, and trying to build a relationship with black men again in the community. Because when we look at throughout the community, the only relationship that we see with black men in the community, sad to say, is the guys who's out here hustling, selling drugs or robbing, picking up people. So, I mean, that's the whole gist of the whole afternoon. It's just, to bring about an awareness and to get people to come out and talk about what's going on in the community and how, if they have an idea, how they should take that idea and get involved. Because as both of you guys know, that there are a number of organizations in the community in the city of Philadelphia. You know, no need to start nothing new. Take your idea and get involved, man. Get involved with the 10,000 Fearless. Get involved with the Peacekeepers or Men United for Change or Brother Bilal Qayyum community organization, Black Father, the Father's Day Rally. Everybody can get involved in something, you know what I mean, and be part of trying to make a change, because it's all hands on deck. When we look at the violence that the police officers do to us, that's a whole different thing. They don't say, well, okay, you from the mosque, you went to Nation of Islam, or you from the Sunni community, or you from the Christian community. No, it's just a black man that they see that gets attacked or gets shot or get locked up unjustly. So everybody's got to pull together, man. Leave your egos at the door. Let's just try to talk about the problems that are going on and see what we can do to try to remedy some of these things that are going on, man, because it's affecting all of us, man. It may not affect us directly, but indirectly. As I said, I think I said it earlier on another program, there were four young brothers that I knew personally, watched, grew up in the community. They got shot. It's not just shot, they got killed. I'll close with this. There was two young brothers, you may have heard about them, up in Shippensburg, PA. They were up in college. Two other men, boys, young adults, killed these brothers. They killed one, and the other was in the hospital on a breather machine. And I knew both of the young brothers that got shot, man. I knew the one that got killed, and I knew the one that's in the hospital. So I'm like, damn, at what point, man, does it, you know, tomorrow it could be my son. I could be getting that phone call that he's in jail. Or he's in the morgue somewhere, or he's badly beaten. Sad to say, but you have to. My son that lives with me is 19 years old, just graduated from high school. I'm begging him to go into the Navy right now, because I feel as though I'd rather take a chance with him being away in a foreign land than to be here in the streets of South Philadelphia. That's how afraid I am. I'm afraid for law enforcement running up on me. And my son's a good kid. Don't get no major trouble. Ain't selling no drugs. He go to work. But it's just guilty by association or jealousy or this social media, Instagram battles and wars that these young brothers is getting into. So it's like you just pray every day, man, that he makes it home and our sons, our nephews, and our cousins make it home, because it's just that scary. Every night, man, I knock on his door just to check on him and make sure that he made it home safe. And it's because of the environment that we live in. And I'll share this with you, brothers, very quickly. A Caucasian coworker asked me today, what do you think that your marches through North Philly and South Philly and West Philly is doing for the people? I was blown away when he said that. I had to really think about how I wanted to answer him. I didn't want to be disrespectful, but I wanted to let him know that, in my humble opinion, that many of these young men out here today, they're suffering from the PTSD that they have seen happen in their family. I believe that some of slavery has something to do with that.
Yes.
Having broken homes, the crack epidemic that their parents were hooked on, and the opium that they're hooked on now. And when I told him that, all he can do is walk away. Because he wanted me to say something other, but I said, no, it's due to the fact of what your ancestors did to us that we are today. Now, do we play a role in that? Yes. But have we been affected by what our slave masters have done to us? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah, Brother Hyde, listen, stay over a little while with us. I want to just kick around a little more issues. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're still in Freestyle Friday mode. You can give us a call, talk about any issues you want, kick things around.
What I would like, I'd like to give Captain Dennis a call up, man. I'm going to try to call him and see if he can call up to the station too, man. That'd be great, man.
That'd be good. We'll take a break, and if he can, if you can send him a text or whatever to give us a call, that he can join the discussion, that'd be good.
Okay.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, you can get involved in the conversation. We have Brother Jihad Ahmed with us, one of the hosts on Time for Awakening. His program comes on Monday from 6 to 8 on Time for An Awakening Media, and it's a function that they're having here tomorrow at the Orton Reed High School here in Philadelphia at 3301 Tasker, Establishing the Culture of Peace, hosted by Acres of Diamonds Media and Brother Jihad Ahmed. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
For 12 years, I and others like me had held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. Amen. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. And so the collision course is set.
The desegregation decisions and other type of legislation and Supreme Court decisions depends upon changing the white man's mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves.
In what way?
Well, so he teaches us the importance of moral reformation, a knowledge of self. And for instance, the average so-called Negro, he doesn't think that he can go into business and provide jobs for himself. And because of this, he thinks that he can only get a job from the white man, or he can only get clothes from the white man, or he can only get food from the white man. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are taught that the same thing that the white man has done for himself and his kind, if our people could be wrecked, if we could be cured of our slave mentality that was indoctrinated into us during slavery, we would realize that just as the white man can do these things for himself and his kind, we can get together in unity and harmony and do the same thing for ourselves and our kind.
Not wondering at all about them. I'm concerned with the suffering and the pain of the masses of black people. No one wants to pay reparations. The Jews received over $100 billion in reparations and gets $4 billion annually. A Holocaust museum was set up for them on this soil for over $200 million, and they get $21 million annually just for operating expenses. But the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Jews, the Arabs, white people in general, no one wants to pay reparations to these, the sons and daughters of Africa. So I speak to them. I don't speak to the family of those two Jews. There are too many of us for me to speak to them.
Cool.
And one of the reasons why I'm always happy to come to this organization, because you're the only one, you're the only black organization, again, that understands to put race first. Race first. Race first. And I've had some white folks to tell me that I was a flaming militant, a radical, or whatever all of these names were that they called me. And I said that I am very pleased that you called me a nationalist, because you could have said that I was a member of the NAACP or the Urban League. So I said, I'm very pleased of the names that you have given. But I said that because we put race first, something is wrong with us. But everybody else puts their own first, because God bless the child who has his own. And so I think that race first is very important. And though we meet in a different venue, we're not at the Slave Theater, we're not at the church, we're now at the Masonic Temple, it really does not matter where we are physically. It matters where we are in our minds. And wherever we meet, as long as we know that we're Africans and as long as we know that we are black people living here in America, we know exactly who we are. You notice you can put an Uncle Tom in any venue in the White House. You can even put him in his. He's going to still be a Tom. You can put him anywhere you want. Well, it's the same thing with us who are strong people. Wherever we are, we're going to be the people that we need to be.
Let me just say this before our time winds up. And that is, I want the people in the audience to go back and look at the video clip from Roots. It's entitled something like Breaking Kunta Kinte. That scene opens with Lorne Green sitting in, who's the plantation master, sitting in his office, and then Fiddler comes in and says, we don't want to be too hard on the runaway. Kunta Kinte has just run away and been caught. And so the time comes for him to get his lashing. And if you look at this scene, it's about 9 minutes, and study the scene. Study the role of everybody or bodies that are in this particular clip. And you will find that there is an equivalent role in the political life of our country today, whether it's on the national level or on the local level. There's the black man who actually does the whipping of Kunta Kinte. There's the white man who does the whipping. There's the black man who intervenes with the boss man and tries to save the life of Kunta Kinte. There's Kunta himself, who eventually is forced to admit that his name is Toby. And there's dozens of bystanders, black, who are watching. This is a very powerful scene. And it's an analogy of exactly what is happening in our community today. Let's give those characters names in our community and call them what they are, and then take care of business about that.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:06 here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in Freestyle Friday mode. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it. 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We've been featuring so far this evening Brother Jihad Ahmed. He has a community forum, and Brother Jihad does a program on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Mondays from 6 to 8 on Time for an Awakening Media, Acres of Diamonds. If you haven't been checking it out, I want you to check it out on Monday evening, 6 to 8. He's hosting a community forum here in the city of Philadelphia tomorrow. Doors open at Dorton Reed High School at 33rd and Task at 1:30. The program starts at 2, Establishing the Culture of Peace, hosted by himself and Captain Dennis Muhammad. I think Brother Jihad said that he was out of Detroit. Let's get Brother Jihad back on here. Brother Jihad, you still with us?
Yes, yes, I'm still here.
Good.
Yo,
good.
You were playing Dr. Khalid Muhammad, man. Woo! Bro, brother, he's getting goose pimples, man, just listening to him, man. I want to say long live the spirit that that brother had, man. That brother would drop it. That would drop it, man. And, you know, giving praise and thanks to his teacher, man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, too, man. But my goodness. What I liked about Dr. Khalid, man, he would call white people a devil to their face. And he didn't care, man. He just didn't care. Didn't care at all. But, you know, the many of the different speakers that were speaking during the break, it just reminded me, man, that we are a rich people, man. We are rich people in knowledge. We smart. We educated, we beautiful. We just have some setbacks that we have to overcome. And I pray to God that I can see in my lifetime that we can overcome the hatred that we have for one another, man, because that hatred is one of the things that's holding us back, and not loving one another and not taking life serious. And I believe that we were able to get my main man, he's my OG, he's my unk, Captain Dennis Muhammad on the line. He's up at Sister Shirley Muhammad. He just got his hair cut. He was texting me, telling me.
Okay.
If I'd have known that, we could have broke bread together. I believe he's on the line.
Yes, he is. Hold on a second. I'll pull him in.
So who better to talk about the work that he's been doing across the country with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and others, and the one and only record producer and entrepreneur Russell Simmons. That's what our brother, Captain Dennis Muhammad, has been doing, man, across the country, working with those great figures.
Brother Muhammad, are you with us?
Yes, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing fine. I thank Allah much for giving me another chance to make it right, man.
Brother Muhammad, you'll be here with Brother Jihad over there at the Ordin Reed School on Saturday, talking about the culture of peace that need to be developed in our communities. From what Brother Jihad said, I think he said you're from the Detroit area.
Well, I used to live in Detroit. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, the Midwest. It's just like the street. Detroit is about 3 hours away.
Okay. But talk about some of the work that you've been doing around trying to establish, to get at least black men to understand that the only way this violence is going to stop in our communities is if we seriously get involved. You know, like that clip I played, Sister Cynthia McKinney talked about when she gave that analogy of roots and talked about dozens of black people standing and watching. We can't have that now. We can't have dozens of our people or thousands of our people just standing watching and watching a few men like yourself or Brother Jihad try to deal with this. We need all hands on deck and all boots on the ground, like Brother Stanley Crawford and Brother Kofi Asante talk about. Talk about some of your work that you've been doing around this issue.
Well, dear brother, I have been a member of the Nation of Islam for over 46 years, and that I have been with Minister Farrakhan rebuilding the nation over 42 years. And my experience has been a captain which many know in the nation, is the brother who's not only the law enforcer, but he who teaches and trains the men who come to see this mom. The beautiful thing about my history is that I absolutely do professionally law enforcement, cultural diversity training, sensitivity training, racial profile training, and today's training I give law enforcement is de-escalation training. Now, I'm not in law enforcement, but I got involved with it when the minister sent me to New York in 1991, and he asked me to build a rapport with the police department that we had not had in 20 years, because if you remember, in 1972, the police attacked the mosque on 116th Street, and a police officer by the name of Ricardo lost his life. Well, they tried to lay the death of that officer at the hands of the Muslims, but in reality, he was shot by another fellow officer as he was shooting at us.
Okay.
So we had to go in and build that rapport, and when I had to go and speak to these officers in roll call, God blessed me to use our great training to properly handle the people, and we won them over, and we were able to turn Harlem into probably one of the safest boroughs today. So I got into that, but what I realized, my brother, that law enforcement alone cannot make our community safe. And the very reason law enforcement can't do it alone is because you know as well as I know, and us and Brother John understands, that law enforcement is now a reactive agency, a responsive agency. It's no longer proactive.
Yes.
So by the time you call the police and they show up, 9 times out of 10, the crime has already been committed. That's why we understand. I heard my brother from the city, Dr. Umar Johnson, make this statement. He said crime and violence is a direct result of unmet social needs. Well, that is true. Where you find high unemployment, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, teenage pregnancy, poverty, homelessness, you're going to find crime and violence. So law enforcement is not in the business of being social workers. So that leads me to say, hey, we got to get the men to take responsibility to clean up their own community. So when the minister called, and you just had the anniversary, the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March, just the other day, when he called for 1 million men, 1995, October 16th, 2 million showed up. And the beautiful thing here, brothers, we took a pledge. And when we took that pledge, crime dropped in every major city in America. And that told me, brothers, that we can, if we got together, clean up our community. So I started the Peacekeepers Global Initiative 15 years ago. And you know what I wanted to do, brother? I wanted to take the FOI training that has been our hallmark of how we can go in certain neighborhoods to clean it up and use that training to give it to my Christian brothers, my nationalist brothers, and our people in general. And we have done a fantastic job. I have 32 chapters, one in London, England, and you'll probably notice us by our orange. And we have a signature on the front of our orange that says, I am present for peace. Brother Jihad invited me to be on his show. And we talked about changing the culture of violence to a culture of peace. I found that so important because if we, dear brothers, going to ask, Brother Ellie, we're going to ask our young men to come out of the culture of violence, we have to give them something to come to.
Okay.
So we have not established a culture of peace. So our methodology from this day forward is to do all within our power that we can get black men to sign up like they did at the Million Man March in this city. And we will start patrolling our own neighborhoods like the brothers that's been doing it here. I met today who's been doing it. And partner up with them and get more soldiers, more troops, and do the West Philly, do North Philly, do South Philly, and let each side of town do the patrolling, then my belief, brother, it would be the beginning of us creating an environment that will make these young people leave the violent environment and come and get into the culture and environment of peace. And so we're very excited about tomorrow's meeting. I'm excited, and I thank Brother Jihad and the wonderful brothers here in Philadelphia We just came from a barbershop getting my hair cut. And the last time I was here, dear brother, I did a barbershop talk at that barbershop that got over 5 million views.
Okay.
So that's what we do. We go around, do barbershop talks, and we get into the conversations with the brothers and the barbers. Because young people, brothers, they're not going to the church. They're not going to the mosque. You can't get them to town hall meetings. So we have to meet our young folks where they are, in the new places, the barbershop. So we have been very successful in getting the youth. So we're excited, dear brother. We're very excited.
Okay. Yeah, Brother Richard?
You know, as I was listening to Brother, Brother Muhammad, one thing that I guess I'm constantly pushing that we those of us who, and I don't even want to use the word aware, who have had this experience, how much we need to organize amongst ourselves. And we're already in organizations, supposedly, of different types. Of 1 million black men, the Masonic groups, the different church organizations, men organizations. And it would, and to the point of the operationalizing, which you're saying, as far as being showing a presence in the community, it would be fantastic if we were able to. And this is, I wanted to come to something Brother Jihad said that you were, I believe you were going to also is this conflict resolution. If these men of these different organizations, if we be able to come together and be able to use conflict or resolution to come to some mutual understanding, so that we could come out and show that it's more men in our communities that are willing to support it than being in isolation of units in and of ourselves. I always preface this. Does that make sense to you?
No, it makes perfect sense. Listen, brother, just to add to what you just said. Conflict, when we seen the death of our brother, Nipsey Hussle, you seen the Crips tie their bandana with the blood. That moment of that brother's demise produced the rise of unity on the West Coast like no other. But how can we talk about the Crips and the blood tying their ribbon and their bandana together, but the Christians and the Muslims can't? How can we talk about that, that they could tie their bandana together, but other organizations, they can't? So before we could talk about bringing unity in the community, we must bring unity among the organizations that desire that. So in order for us to do that, dear brother, we have to set aside egos. We have to rise above religion. We have to rise above politics. We have to rise above sports. Yes, we hold our religion dearly, but every time we get in a conversation with religion, it's controversial and it becomes combative and it produces conflict.
Yes.
Conflict is the absence of peace. So we can't talk religion. Same thing with politics. If I could, I did something today. If I sit on this radio, well, man, I'm a Dallas fan. People be calling in, get this dude off the air, run him out of town, da 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 da. What did you do? See, and even though I'm not, just the fact I say that, it produced controversy, it produced conflict. So what we learned, dear brothers, we're using the language that unites us, because peace is the greatest denominator that brings us together. White folks want peace, black folks want peace. Poor people want peace, rich people want peace. We recognize that peace is the common. So we use the language, establishing a culture of peace. I can get with that. But as long as we don't try to use religion, as long as we don't try to use politics, and as long as we don't try to use our social persuasion, this is the success of why we here. We was here 8 years ago, and we called 10,000 men to action at the Lear Court Center. I was part of this setting that up, and we got 12,000. And one thing I know about selling, I'm not trying to blow no sunshine up your butt, selling. This is the God's truth. It's in any city to have the right climate, the right conditions, the right motivation, the right differences that would bring us together. I believe Philadelphia can do it. And I'm not saying it, because I travel all around the world. But I can see that y'all have been in the news for the last month, and the news ain't been positive. So God has humbled all of our hearts. He has humbled the Nation of Islam's heart. He has humbled the church's heart. He has humbled. So we now see the value of one another. And look at here. We've fallen in love with each other all over again. We're going to do this for God trying. And tomorrow, God willing, we're going to bring a spirit that will put a hope in the minds of the men and the women who's going to be present. Brother, because I'm telling you, hope, you can't put a dollar figure on hope. And when you put hope in the hearts of those who was the hopeless, then brother, we've already won.
Let's take a couple calls here. Let's go to 602. 602?
Yes. Good evening, Brother Eliot and Brother Richard. And good evening to the guests here. Brother Marcus here.
How are you, sir?
Good evening. I'm doing great, good brothers. I'm doing great. You know, as the brothers were saying, the same conditions that are occurring in Philly is occurring in Memphis. It's occurring in Jamaica, in Brazil. Wherever you find black people, it's the same conditions. And if you look, it is the same system that they have in place. You see? Because, as we said, the same educational system that teach white people to hate black people also teach black people to hate black people. See? So that educational system has to be demolished because it's turning out anti-black people. See, the system, the educational system turn out black youth. They are learning this black self-hatred from somewhere. It's coming from the school system. And the same curriculum that's there in Philly, it's the same curriculum in Memphis, same curriculum in Jamaica, in South Africa. So it produced the same mindset. Now, the brothers talk about, we're talking about buying black, okay, the Buy Black campaign. Now, we have to look at what factor does the black consumer play in that? You see, the black consumer is one of the biggest traitors because the black consumer go there and spend their money with these people who disrespect us. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if we had some internal corrective force to punish the black consumer, because that is the traitor. That is the traitor who go there and spend their money with these people who disrespect us. Just like he was talking the other day, brother, with the Kevin Ardell, the preacher, who disrespect black people, right, on the pulpit, and we still support the network, okay? We don't even want to talk about it. I tried to bring it up the other day. These Negroes don't even want to talk about it. You see what I'm saying? So we have to develop some type of internal corrective force to punish these people who do these things. You see what I'm saying? And punish the black traitor who support this foolishness. We know this is it's psychological warfare on a state level. We know that. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, I was taking some notes here. I said, look, we are in prison. This actually, America itself is a prison for black folks. You see? The food we eat, we don't produce the food we eat. You see? So we are being poisoned on a daily basis. The clothes we wear, we know that they have used smallpox to annihilate other races. Even in South Africa, when they had the truth and reconciliation thing, white folks came out and said, yes, we were putting AIDS and disease in the clothes, giving it to black folks. You see what I'm saying? I would talk about the educational system that is miseducating black people. We talk about the medical system that is destroying us. You go to the doctor tell you, you know what, Richard, you have some serious ailment. We don't know, and naturally, the police doesn't give us any protection. So we have a myriad of problems, and we're going to have to solve them simultaneously. It's not something that we will state this way. We have to do it simultaneously. But we are that type of people. We are very creative people, and I am quite convinced that we are going to rise to the occasion because we are not stupid. Continue keeping on, good brothers. I appreciate this program, and I appreciate what you're doing there. And there's a lot of work being done in the community. It's just that, you know, some people are coming out and advertising, but things happening. Keep on keeping on, good brothers. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, sir. Any comments, Captain Dennis or Brother Jihad on his call?
Well, let me say our brother covered a lot of
social ills,
and he was right on point. The difference between today and 50 years ago is that if our brother stumped his toe in Memphis, we felt it in Philadelphia. We was not confused in the early 60s who the enemy was. We had more unity back then because we knew where we were at on the scale of progress. And we knew who were those who had the foot on our neck to hinder our progress. Now, how did we go from loving one another, say aloud, I'm black and my proud, where we are the number one killers of one another, and to add insult to injury, we would say to white people, Black Lives Matter. We would say to the police after they killed my man Michael Brown, Black Lives Matter. And they could say to us, well, evidently it don't matter to y'all because you are the number one killers of one another. Now, listen to what brother said. Every one of our ills, if we were in a situation where we was in a car accident, and in that car accident, we had what you call multiple injuries, and we were taken to what they call the trauma unit, but the black community is a drama unit, the first thing they do in the trauma unit, they identify the life-threatening injury first.
Okay.
So you may have many injuries. You may have a pelvis injury, but that ain't going to kill you. You may have one of your legs hanging on by a muscle. That ain't going to kill you. But if we don't stop the hemorrhage, if we don't stop bleeding, then after that, we ain't going to have to worry about fixing your leg and send you up to the doctor to fix the bones and send you down to this in the neurologist. So if we had to pick what one of the ills, what one of the problems that we had, that if we had to pick one of them, all that he said, from the Black Dollar Matter to dealing with health food, to dealing with teenage pregnancy, to deal with homelessness, to deal with drug and alcohol abuse, to deal with mental illness, to deal with single-parent homes, if we had to pick one of them, we would find it very difficult because if you're a businessman, you would say, well, brother, I'm going to tell you, Captain, he's giving me jobs. If you were the teacher, you say, well, I kind of like what he said. But they need education and a knowledge of something. I'm an educator. And if you were the preacher, you say, well, look here, they need God in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would not be wrong. Here's our methodology with the peacemakers and the peacekeepers. Our attitude is to stop the bleeding. Because if we don't stop the killing, then ain't going to be no young brother to give a job to. If we don't stop the killing, damn a GED, he ain't going to be able to go to school. If we don't stop the killing, so we have to come together and stop the hemorrhage and stop the bleeding. And how do we do that? We have to first identify that's the objective. We got to stop being crisis managers. Every time there's a crisis, I hear people when they shot that sister in Texas, I mean, in Fort Worth.
Texas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fort Worth, Texas. Now, people are talking about it. They ain't never known a sister, but it seems like every time there's a crisis, they pop up in the media. They ain't never got a proactive program. It seems that why don't we stop being crisis managers, ambulance chasers, poverty pimps? Why don't we be proactive? Because if we could be proactive, then we don't have to be reactive.
Okay.
So I added to tomorrow. is to train these men under five disciplines. Look at what we're going to get. You tag on skipping, we got to give them conflict resolution. But we also got to give them that love thyself training, because many of these brothers hate themselves. They may not say they hate themselves, but self-hatred is deeply in us, and we have to be honest and realize it's in all of us, some more than others. You know how I can tell you that self-hatred is in black people? They want to say they love themselves. I ask this question every city I go. I said, well, I'm going to give you a self-hatred test. They like, come on with it, Mr. Mahan. I said, do y'all have a black supermarket in this city? No, we got some little mama, but we ain't got no black supermarket. I said, do you have a Nigerian and Jamaica? So they're like, oh, yeah, we got a Nigerian and Jamaica supermarket. They ain't black. They ain't black. Well, you know, wait a minute. So you try to kill. No. See, well, you know, the brothers from Nigeria, you know, they don't demonstrate. Does that take away they ain't black? If I ask you, do you have a black supermarket in the Nigerians, you say, yes, we do. The Nigerians got one. Yes, we do. The Jamaicans got one. But the fact you said no, and then I asked you, say, yeah. See, that's a sign that you would rather do business with white people than to go buy rice that, you know, all of us eat rice. There's your brothers from Nigeria got the big 50-pound bag. Need you to buy rice from them. So what I've learned is we have not identified the self-hatred in ourselves. So we give you self-hate. We give you love thyself training, conflict resolution. Look here. We also give you what we call nonviolent crisis intervention training. And then we give you what the Muslims are known for, the proper handling of people training. But wait a minute, we don't stop there. Every man that we're going to train in the next 6 weeks that we're going to get tomorrow, we're going to give them all CPR and first aid training, because we need to do life-saving skills. And wait a minute, then we're going to give them the Narcan training, so then when we put the brothers patrol their neighborhood, they're going to have the Narcan drug just in case that we run across somebody the old day. They're doing this now in other cities. The law enforcement now is releasing the Narcan to organizations who most likely will find somebody OD. Then if we got the CPR and first aid, then if we see somebody and we at least know how to save a life. There was police department, they know a CPR. So when we get through for training these men, God willing, here in Philadelphia for the next 6 weeks, they would be the most qualified group of citizens, that the private citizen volunteer in their community to go out there and save the community. And with those skills, we could bring these brothers who have beef. Look at the thing. Squash the beef before the grief. I'm going to say it again. Squash the beef before the grief. So we are using the barbershops. So we went into Chicago. We gave conflict resolution to 20 barbers, because they most likely know who the brothers out there acting the fool, because that's the barber, know everything. So when there's beef, they respect the barber. So the brothers would sit down because the barber told them to sit down. And they are teaching and they are dealing with conflict. Philadelphia, we're not going to just send these brothers out there. We got to qualify these brothers to go out there and save their people. And look here, dear brother, we're not trying to be the police. We're not out there to tell them, brother, what they need to stop doing. We're not out there to tell them to pull their pants. I remember my man Bill Cosby came hard on the youth back in the day about pulling your pants up. And now the youth is telling Bill Cosby, well, you should have zipped your pants up. See, don't be so quick to condemn our youth when you ain't the example for them. So we're not out there. We're not out there telling them, you got to stop. So we take, no, sir. You know what our methodology is? Is what you'll find in the Christian Bible, that Jesus said, with love and kindness, I draw thee. I love that, because it works. With love and kindness, brother, we could draw our youth to a better way of life. And so we have to create the environment and a culture of peace. So when they want to get out the violent world, they say, you know what? On the west side over there, man, they got businesses. You don't go with no drugs over there. And man, ain't no violence, ain't no gunplay. Man, I want to move over there and live a life of peace. But we have to make one first.
We're going to take a brief break. Richard, I'm going to take this break. And then when we come back, make your point. And then we got a call waiting at 215. We're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, you can join the conversation too by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. 402-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I think you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. Then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to himself.
You preachers and leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them. Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk.
Wait.
Did you hear them in Ferguson tell Jesse, get the hell out of here? You ain't no leader. I was hurting for my brother because Jesse worked hard for our people. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wineskin, or your day of leading our people is over and it will never come back to you again.
Of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party, still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free.
Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump.
So you could see that the government of America has been planning our demise. Any members of Congress here, any members of the civil rights movement that are here, you love this nation. You've suffered every indignity to make America better, that she might be great. And every time you forced her to make a law that was in our favor, they came right behind that law with skill and chicanery to make the law of non-effect.
when it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education, and locked them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 9:47 here in the city of Philadelphia. You can get involved in the conversation for the minutes that we have left by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Establishing the Culture of Peace, Saturday, October 19th at the Orton Reed High School at 33rd and Tasker. The program starts at 1:30. The doors open at 1:30. The speakers begin at 2 o'clock. Hosted by Acres of Diamonds with our host, Brother Jihad Ahmed, and Captain Dennis Muhammad is with us in conversation this evening to talk about the program here in Philly. Before we went to break, Richard, you had a comment or question that you wanted to throw, and then
no,
I'll go
no,
to the
no,
call.
No, no, we can go to the phone.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go to 215. Let's 215.
Hey, good evening, Brother Elliot. Good evening, Brother Richard. And how y'all brothers doing tonight?
How are you, sir?
Good, I'm doing good. Fine. And assalamu alaikum to my two beloved brothers, Brother Jihad and Brother Dennis. Assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
Yes, sir. I praise be to Allah. Inshallah, I didn't know that the event that Brother Elliot mentioned it on the show earlier, that Brother Jihad was having this event. Inshallah, I'm going to try to swing by tomorrow for an hour or so and stuff so I can get a chance to meet you and shake your hand, Brother Dennis. So you know, that's my plan, to get by there tomorrow. I already had a four-day schedule, but I'm going to squeeze, at least try to squeeze an hour in tomorrow. So I'm going to try to get by Orton Reed tomorrow, at least for an hour, so I can, you know, check y'all brothers out, because I like what y'all are doing and everything, because it's definitely needed, like you said, Brother Dennis. And I appreciate your passion and your concern and love that you and Brother Jihad, as well as Brother Ellen and Richard, have for our people, because, like you say, Brother Dennis, we got work to do. We got things to take care of, and we have got to save our people, because we're the only ones going to save our people. White folks is not going to save our people. If our people is to be saved, it's going to be saved by us, by the grace of Allah. It's going to be saved by us. And you know, Brother Dennis, when you talk about the social ills that's facing our people, history shows that black people are not, it's not unique just to black people. I mean, see, you notice even our so-called black intellectuals, that's where they dropped the ball at, because, you know, white folks and their hypocrisy, they're not going to talk about it. But again, black, it's not unique to black people, because you can go back to the 1920s to 30s, at the height of the Depression, when you had white folks out here committing crimes. You had the Bonnie and Clydes, the Pretty Boy Floyds, the John Dillingers. These were pretty much poor white folks that were shut out, like Reverend Jeremiah Wright playing the clip that Elliot played just now. They were shut out of the economic system. So these whites was pretty much in a state of despair. So they was out there robbing banks, robbing this place, robbing that place. So Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, in his wisdom, he said that, look, he saw this, how this pendulum was swinging. So that's when they started coming up with the Marshall Plan to rebuild, you know, white America, the GI Bill for white veterans coming back. And this was their way of getting white people out of poverty, because it shows that these white folks, when they couldn't get good jobs, they couldn't do this, they had resorted to crime. So, like you said, Brother Dennis, you put that same, you shine that same light on black people. Well, if you got black folks all across the country with our youth for nothing to do, no job skills, no training, you know, they going to inferior schools, eating bad food, if they got food deserts, you know, I mean, you know, they're not respected by law enforcement, they're in a total state of despair. What you expect is a fertile ground for crime. crime. I mean, what do you expect to come out of it? We expect a song and dance to come out of it. You're going to get nothing, just like you said, Brother Dennis. You will get nothing out of it but crime and chaos, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, your point is definitely well taken there, brother.
Well, thank you, dear brother. I appreciate that. And I love your passion, brother. You're talking about you love mine. I want to say this and to the great host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, and also Brother Jihad, who's a radio personality as well. You know, we are truly a blessed people. We are the only people that God has given 2 to 3 great leaders in the same era. There has not been a people on this planet that had at the same era a Denbaugh Beasley, Du Bois, and a Frederick Douglass. In the same era, Malcolm and a Jesse and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In the same era, Martin and a Malcolm. You know, God has been gracious to us.
Yes, he has.
The great leaders, 2 to 3 in the same. Man, there was only one Gandhi. You know what I'm saying? We have been truly. But why would God send such many great men? Because the condition we in warrants it. Okay. And to tell you today that if you're listening down today, as if they never came to us, as if the minister never said, and if Malcolm didn't never come, as Martin. So what had happened? Why is it? So you cannot disagree that we are people who suffer from post-traumatic stress. We are suffering a trauma that is so hideous. That when you take a people, man, and you dash their hope and you kill their leaders. I listened to the, we call him Brother Collins, this Brother Sajifu. Collins was killed.
Yes, sir,
Martin,
no doubt.
Killed. Malcolm was killed.
Yes.
And they constantly trying to take the minister out of the game when they gave him too much radiation. He wasn't supposed to survive that prostrate radiation. The
That's
doctors
right.
knew they gave the minister too much. They tried to kill him. That word was that they did that to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at Mercy Hospital.
Yes, and that's went, correct.
There you go. And they took our brother, Dr. Sebi. So,
that's
man,
correct.
Come on. We're not ignorant.
That's right.
They're targeted. And today, you have a reason to be upset with us, OG. They upset.
Yes.
They look at us and we see us old school want to tell them what they should do, but we have not did nothing to provide them an environment safe, free of drugs, free of crime, free of... We didn't do that as men. And I want to say this. Every nation, every people, every race, they have what you call, dear brother, norms. Norms are established rules of conduct and behavior.
Okay.
Yes. Norms are laws. We don't have that in the hood no more. We don't have no established rules of conduct and behavior by which these brothers, we don't say to the youngest on the court, hey, yo, young brother, we don't refer to our women as bitches. I'm sorry. We don't
Thank
do that.
You. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, young brother, you don't sell drugs in the same place. You eat and sleep. I'm sorry. You don't go in the white neighborhood. I'm sure if you leave now, you'd be the only one over there selling. You won't have no competition. But you can't do it here. We have not sat down with these young brothers and establish rules of conduct and behavior by which our community must be governed by.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And that's our job, to establish the
role
in a culture of peace.
I agree with you, Brother Dennis. I'm looking forward to coming over to the forum tomorrow, Brother Dennis, because I know you and Brother Jihad and all the brothers that's going to be there tomorrow are going to come with some positive plans to help our people out, because that's definitely what's needed, Brother Dennis. No question about that. And I'll close with this, Brother Dennis. When I grew up, I'm 58 years old. I grew up in the hood in North Philadelphia back in the late 60s, early 70s. I remember that. See, I grew up in a gang. Brother Jihad can relate to this. I grew up during the gang war era. And you had gangs like Dolphin Street, 21st and Nas, the Valley, Zulu Nation, all them gangs was in the community. But to show you the difference, like you just said, Brother Dennis, I remember I grew up around some of the gang. I knew some of the gang leaders on a personal note. And these brothers, even though they was out there gang banging and stuff, which I'm not condoning, but even they had, like you said, a code of norms, because I remember they could be out, them brothers could be out there, the gang members could be out there in the corner drinking wine, smoking, and let's just say, for example, and Miss Bugs or Miss Gladys walked up, and they, the brothers was using foul language, they'd say, man, watch your mouth. Here come Mr. Bugs, man, watch your mouth. Put the beer bottle.
Right.
And, these members were gang members, but they still had some respect for the elderly in our community and stuff. So they even had some things of norms and mores. So you're absolutely right, Brother Dennis. So I'm going to just get off, and I'm going to sit back and listen to the rest of the show. And inshallah, we'll see you and Brother Jihad tomorrow, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wayne Slam.
Thank you for your call, sir.
He had the spirit, man. Yes.
Brother Hutt,
kind
of bring it home for us. Let the folks know again about the event that you and Captain Dennis will be hosting and send us
on. I'll just say a couple things, and I'll let Captain Dennis close it out.
Okay.
You know, the topic, the theme of it came from a conversation that me and Captain was having. And I said, text me that title so we can put it on the flyer. And it's went all over the city, man, establishing a culture of peace. If nothing else, if we can't do nothing else, we just want to establish some peace on the block that we live on, the communities we live in the area, man, in the city. This is much needed. To have peace in our community is much, much needed. Just the other day, we celebrated the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March. And for me, whenever that day comes, October the 16th, I get a misty feeling because that's the same event that me and my father went to. So when they had the march 4 years ago, Justice or Else, I felt inclined to take my oldest son with me. And he had no idea why we went. But I said, boy, you ain't going to school. You're going to this march. He didn't understand why he had to go. We spent the whole weekend in D.C. To this day, 4 years later, he still talks about going to that march. Justice. Men need to step up and do things with their sons, show them love, and clean their community up, because our communities that we live in are so dirty, man. If we don't do it, white folks is going to take over our communities, man, and we're going to still be out here killing each other. The event is tomorrow. We welcome everybody to come out. It's free. Bring your clergy members. Bring your politicians. You know, they all need a vote, and they're trying to give out some turkeys next month, so they need to be there as well. Captain Dennis?
All I want to add to it and close out, and I thank you again, dear brothers. I thank you. We, dear brothers, have to make peace just as attractive that violence is. And the only way we could do that is put aside our personal differences, leave our egos at the door. We're not coming here to reinvent the wheel. We met with the brothers that's been out here in the streets. I forgot the name. But Brother Stanley is the brother's name. And we had sit down today. Yeah. And we had agreed. We're working together.
Okay.
They need soldiers. The nation needs soldiers. So we hoping to recruit tomorrow men who's not afraid, not cowards, but fearless men who's willing to put themselves in harm's way to bring back peace to the streets. I'm honored that y'all would allow Brother Dennis this great opportunity to be in your city for 30 days until we see this from start to finish. And this ain't no go back and we're going to quit. This is what we call a journey forever. Thank you, brothers. My name is Captain Dennis and I'm present for peace.
Well, listen, it's the event is tomorrow again at the Orton Reed Senior High School. Orton Reed Charter High School, I'm sorry, 33rd and Tasker. The doors open at 1:30. The event starts, the speakers start at 2 o'clock. Brother Jihad, as always, brother, keep up the good work, man. And again, listeners to Time for Awakening, tune in Monday, 6 to 8, on Time for an Awakening Media on the Black Talk Radio Network, your TuneIn app, and you'll hear Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Jihad, talk to you soon, Captain Dennis. I hope to see you tomorrow. I can get out of there, I'll be my place closes at 6, but I'm gonna try to get out of there a little bit earlier so I can get down there.
Please, get there early.
we'll talk soon.
Okay. Good night.
Peace. Richard. Richard?
Yeah, I just got kicked off.
Oh, okay. Okay, you there. Okay, you got me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I hear the passion in Jihad. Listen, Jihad is always having things in the community. I respect what he's doing. That's one reason why he's with us and on top of Awakening Media. And he's on terrestrial radio also. He's had that program on the terrestrial station here for quite a while, number of years. He's always out here, Richard. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, they went through the community down there when I mentioned that they was going to start the walk at the Chew Playground at 19th and Washington Avenue. And I hear the passion in Captain Dennis's voice. So the men with the CPR training, the conflict resolution training, he's going to spend 30 days here to recruit some men. The men are serious, man. And just like you said, they need serious men in these communities. The playtime is over. I mean, we really need to justice or else. Let's use that term for our community. It's going to be justice or else.
Right. Definitely. And it's a process, too, because here, you know, and especially, you know, to utilizing your place, you know, your business as a mode of a gathering place that's historical in our community. I always have this model, this mental model of input, process, output. If the barbershops are now the new input, where, you know, different men of different generations can meet and communicate, and that's where we can identify. And then if the process, as Brother Dennis said, is to be able to go through those different training things and conflict resolution and those other things and dealing with, you know, was that CPR or and things like that, that becomes the training method, becomes the process. And then, you know, and once you go through that, and then you have that output, which is actually men prepared to for us to be able to go in the communities and have that code or supply to be able to supply that what is necessary of the right things to do and the wrong things to do, but being there. So as long as we follow that method or process, we'll be able to get, you know, reconnect the community, because this whole thing of disconnecting the community is not something that was just happenstance and we done. It was intentionally done, you know, to create the fragmentation or the individualization. So that everybody operates as islands unto themselves instead of networks of communities with each other. So this is, and being about the culture of peace is really the outcome of that.
Yeah, but because, you know, hopefully listeners in other areas of the country can get involved and start some of these things in their own communities. You can see that these men travel around. They'd be more than willing to come to your city and help get these things started in your community. Captain Dennis said that they're going to have men here training with CPR, with conflict resolution. Jihad is going to provide some of the flashlights and whistles for the men. So, you know, you got men here that want to help and help you get organized in your cities to stop this violence. And to go, we can't just sit back and look at the news and say, we got to stop it. Black people got to stop this. Or just look like we're watching a tennis match. Or like Cynthia McKinney says, just be those dozens standing by watching. We can't afford to do this anymore. You know what, Richard? And thinking about this, the gentleman that called the police in Fort Worth, for a wellness check. He called because the young lady, he knew that the young lady was single over there and her door was cracked or open. And he called the police because he knew she was single. This police go over there and kill this young lady in her house playing video games with her nephew, who she was babysitting at the time. And the man said that he was so sorry because, you know, he called the police for this and the woman ended up being killed. Can you imagine, Richard, if you have people in your community that you can call and say, Sister Susie's door is open. And then the men go around to make sure she's all right, to make sure that everything is all right, even the door is cracked. They don't have to call the police. Now, the police go there, and there's a chance that something's serious. This is not the first time that the police, I think about 2 months ago, it was a man that had a little mental illness, and the family called the cops to kind of get him calmed down. They came in and killed him. So this is not an anomaly. This stuff is happening now, where black folks is getting killed. Before, it was on the street, an encounter, a traffic stop. But now they coming into your home, like the young man was watching television, eating ice cream, watching Netflix, and that cop burst in the home and killed him. So we got to come up with better solutions for our community. We can manage things in our community, and if it gets serious, then we can, as a group, call the police and be there when they're there and kind of monitor what's going on.
That's true.
There's other ways we can handle this, and it's a start. I'm glad that, like I said, I'm glad that Jihad and them is having this function. I'm glad he's with us on Time for an Awakening Media. And for folks that haven't heard his program, tune in on Monday nights, 6 to 8, on Time for an Awakening Media. Also, the TuneIn app, if you can pull it down, you can go to Black Talk Radio Network, / Time for Awakening, hear it, Acres of Diamonds, with Brother Jihad Ahmed, or 6 to 8 on Monday evenings. Richard, that'll be it for this evening, man. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion as always, and we'll be back on Sunday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turns to try and save the world. Such a small part of the thing that they'll soon be right at the heart of. My little Tommy, he said he wants to be a fireman.
save the children.